Young bodybuilder Thomas Terry is well known for Game of Swoles. His Instagram account he started to show off his biceps and make new friends. Thomas's build is so awesome, it got him the attention of a muscle worship company that specializes in creating videos of attractive men flexing for folks' erotic pleasure. Thomas became a muscle god.
But not everything is rosy on Mount Olympus. It came as a shock last week when Thomas announced that he was undergoing chemotherapy, prompting him to say, "Everyone loves you when you're dying." Today, bodybuilder Thomas Terry joins us to talk about his side hustle as a muscle god in erotic muscle worship videos and overcoming autoimmune hemolytic anemia, which requires weekly chemotherapy treatments.
Plus, how much is working as a guard at a women's prison like Orange is the New Black?
Homophobic fitness hunks the guys love.
And how to tell if someone is on steroids, even if it's none of your business. I'm Fausto Fernos.
I'm Mark Fillion.
And this is Feast of Fun.
Hello?
Hello, is this Thomas Terry?
Yes.
Is this a muscle god? Well,
oh Lord.
Answer the question.
Yeah.
Excuse me. This is Fausto.
And Mark from Feast of Fun. It's been a while since I've seen you.
Yeah, it's been a few years.
Well, I see you on the internet, but to see you in person or to talk to you.
Well, we met at the Arnold Fitness Expo in Columbus, Ohio, one of the largest fitness and bodybuilding expositions in the world, started by the greatest of all time, Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yeah, that was my first event too, I think. I think that was the very first time I ever went.
That's the first time you ever got out of the house and people are like, "Oh my God, you're so muscular."
Yeah, that's not entirely not true either.
Oh, really?
I hide in the house a lot.
Well, you're like us. You spend time at the gym, you're at work, you're home playing video games and doing content for the internet.
Yeah. I mean, not as of late, but yeah, when I'm good, it's white.
So, Thomas, you've been going through a lot lately. Tell the listeners what your day was like.
Today?
Yeah.
Well, today I woke up at 10 because it's my day off, so I got to be lazy. I had a protein shake and went straight to Kaiser to get my blood tested. I have to get blood tests every morning for a while. And I went to the gym because I'm not supposed to, and I'm defiant, so I went anyway. And that's kind of all I've done today.
Well, because recently you've been diagnosed with autoimmune hemolytic anemia.
Yes, I got diagnosed last month.
And your doctor's like, "Stay out of the gym, relax, focus on your healing." You're like, "Never!
Muscle!"
Yeah, basically. He's like, "You need to take it easy." That's kind of how I do take it easy.
So instead of lifting 400 pounds, you're lifting 200 pounds.
No, I went to 385 on squats today.
Oh my God. That would kill me if I did that.
Yeah, I was a little reckless, but it was fun. I did it and I didn't die. So
what do you have? What is this immune disorder?
So the best way to describe it is it's very similar to leukemia. So with leukemia, your body goes crazy and creates a lot of white blood cells and they push out your red blood cells. And that's how leukemia gets you. With mine, my white blood cells go crazy and they kill my red blood cells.
Wait, so your white blood cells are killing your red blood cells and now you're turning yellow.
Yeah, so that's jaundice. So when your red blood cells die, they leave behind something called bilirubin. And because my blood cells die so quickly, it builds up very rapidly and it turns my eyes and skin yellow.
Yikes.
Wow. Well, I'm sorry. It sounds like an ordeal. And so every morning you wake up and get your blood tested.
Yes, because if I don't and we don't catch it in time, it can be fatal.
What are they looking for?
So they check my white blood count, my red blood count, hemoglobin, and hemocrit. I just started chemo on Saturday and I just got my blood test results. It took them 6 hours. It's supposed to be stat. So it's supposed to be done in an hour, but it took them six. And they're close enough, right? Mm. Saturday before my chemo, my white blood count was 32,000. A high is considered 11,000. So 32,000's
wow,
astronomical.
So what's happening? Like, what are you doing? Like, what are they doing to you? Like, is it chemo? It's like, what are they trying to kill your, what? I don't, what,
right.
What are they going to do?
Kill the white blood cells. So the idea behind the chemo is to kill all my B cells so that my immune system has a hard reset. The idea is that the B cells are confused, and if you erase all of them, then they can come back healthy. A lot of people have had success with it. It's called rituximab. And there's been a lot of success for other people who have my condition with this chemo.
Thomas, the sound is pretty choppy. Can we call you directly on your cell phone and see if that improves things?
Yeah, we can do that.
Okay, we'll call you back.
Hello?
Hi, Thomas. Can you hear us?
Hello. Yes, I can.
Where were we at? I guess we were talking about like the treatment. So what kind of treatment are you undergoing to counteract this?
So right now I'm on, and everybody's going to be like, but I'm on corticosteroids.
Ah, I knew it. You were on steroids.
Not anabolic. There is a very very big difference. In fact, there's a muscular myopathy effect with corticosteroids.
What the hell is that? Train.
So are you getting swole or are you not getting swole?
They do not help you anabolically. They actually hinder you. So that they're a hindrance. Because it's, so with anabolic steroids, they're synthetic testosterone. Because
the word anabolic means to build a cell, right? To grow a cell. And corticosteroids means what?
They're synthetic cortisol.
Cortisol is your body's stress hormone, right?
Yes. So it's supposed to suppress my immune system to make it where it kills me a little less rapidly. So I'm on prednisone and rituximab, which is my chemo. And then blood transfusions is needed. I've had three this week.
Wow.
Well, I imagine this is exhausting. And I really appreciate you. I know we scheduled this interview before you started this treatment. I appreciate you taking the time to talk to us. But how do you feel right now?
I'm tired. I'm pretty ready to like order some food and go to sleep.
Yeah.
But I might hang out and like play video games because I've been out all day and that might be part of it. My mother, who hasn't seen me in like 2 years, wanted to see me after finding out I'm like on chemo.
Oh my God. I imagine that you're just like so many feelings and ideas are going in through your mind because you're seen as this rock solid paragon of health and muscularity. And now you're so vulnerable.
Well, I mean, so autoimmune visible diseases, right? Disorders, not another disease because you can't catch it. A lot of people don't realize that just because you can't see someone as sick doesn't mean they are. I've been working through this disorder for the last month and a half, and no one knew I was as sick until I came in, and I really couldn't hide my eyes. Like, they were so yellow, I couldn't hide it. And one of the captain saw me, and she's like, what's wrong with you? And you can't lie to them. You can't be like, I'm perfectly healthy. Just jaundiced. So I didn't realize how sick I was. I didn't realize how sick I was because I kind of didn't take it as serious as I did until, so about a week and a half ago, I was actually pretty healthy from my treatment, the prednisone. And I went from relatively healthy to I almost died twice. I needed an emergency blood transfusion.
How would you die from this? Like what would be the thing that kills you?
So it's called land suffocation. So the hemoglobin is what carries your oxygen through your blood. And when your hemoglobin drops, you can't carry oxygen through your blood at all. And your body will start pulling in your blood closer and closer to your internal organs to keep you alive. And a lot of the trouble is if it gets too low, they can't transfuse you. They can't get into a vein because your veins all collapse.
Oh, shit.
My hemoglobin dropped to about 5. And a normal level is 13.4, and I'm high elevation. So high elevation, you're usually like 15, 16, or 17. In fact, I had an old blood test from 2012 when I was really healthy at 18.1. So I don't know if, what elevation in Chicago? Is that like sea level?
I think it was 6 years ago when we saw you in Columbus, Ohio.
Yeah. Well, if you've ever climbed a mountain, it's kind of like that.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you're asking what the height in Chicago is.
Oh, the elevation here is 700. Yeah, elevation. It's 700 feet above sea level.
Yeah, so I'm at 5,200.
Mm-hmm. I've been in the Andes.
So that's kind of what it's like for me, but all the time. Plus, I live at high elevation.
Is living in Colorado making your condition worse?
Not necessarily. I can go to like sea level and I'd probably be able to breathe slightly easier.
Yeah.
But what's helping me and keeping me better is the fact that I work out so much because my volumetric efficiency for my blood is a little bit higher than someone who wouldn't. So that's why I can tolerate it a little bit better. Certain, like most people, about 7 or 6 on the hemoglobin are passing out and collapsing.
But, you know, when I was in Peru, I was in the Andes and then we were up in Cusco and we were stuck there for a couple of days. We were just going to go up there and just see Machu Picchu and then like leave. But then we got Machu Picchu caught on fire. So it became this whole ordeal. We ended up staying up there for like 5 days. And it was just like, I just felt miserable the entire time I was there. And as soon as we flew back down to Lima and I got on the plane or got off the plane, I was just like, I just felt instantly better. So it's like, it's surprising like how much elevation can affect you.
Yeah. So, and that's kind of where, that's the best way I can describe how it feels in terms of breathing, other than the fatigue and the pain. It causes your like joints to hurt. And then it also makes you yellow, which is kind of embarrassing.
Is it easier to get muscle like at higher elevation because you have less gravity working on you, or is it harder to get muscle?
I don't think that's accurate.
No, because like when you bake foods and you cook foods, it's like it's much different cooking at sea level as it is like if you're up in the mountainside.
That's air density.
Yeah,
I don't think 5,000 feet affects. I don't think affects gravity.
No. Okay. Well, I mean, does it affect muscle growth?
I don't think so. It might. You know what? Actually, it does. It makes it 50 times harder.
Genetics or diet or exercise, but not anabolic steroids. You do an extraordinary job of building your physique, and you have a huge number of fans and admirers on social media who hold on for every single photo that you do, which, you know, really most of it is you flexing your biceps.
That's because that's a fan favorite. I can't help it.
Yeah. You got to give the people what they want.
What would you flex if you had a choice?
Chest is my favorite. So I really like the chest flexes because I have really good serrations in my chest. But if I do like chest flex, everybody's like, oh, okay, chest, that's cool. But as soon as I get biceps, boom, 15,000 likes. Show the quad, no one cares. Biceps, boom, everyone's there.
I can tell you of a muscle you could flex that would get a lot of attention, but it would get you blocked on Instagram.
Yeah, and I would be very sad. I've worked very hard for my Instagram.
What made you want to start posting pictures of yourself on Instagram? Because there's a lot of the guys at the gym that I admire that I wish they would have an Instagram account. And most people are very private about that stuff.
I don't know. I made it a few years ago when I was starting a job for, I forgot what oil field company it was. I think I just wanted like another social media to connect with people because I was lonely. I don't have a lot of friends in the oil fields, long hours. I was like, click, here we go. And then it just, for some reason, was successful. And now I have quite a few friends I've met on there.
It's interesting because when we first ran across you at the Arnold Fitness Expo, we thought you were an employee of this company that manufactures candy bars or sports bars in very unusual flavors. And one that they were promoting was a birthday cake sports bar that remarkably tastes really, really good. It was actually designed by a Food Network personality who is a bodybuilder himself. Yeah. And we started just talking to you on camera. And of all the other like physique guys, you were the most willing to talk to us and be playful and be good sport about it, you know? And I really have to hand it to you. We were like, this guy is going to be a huge star. Sure enough, you know, like in the years that passed by, you know, some of the top photographers and publicists and people who are in the know of the bodybuilding and fitness world have really celebrated you as a model, as a paragon of muscularity.
I appreciate that a lot. I mean, I made in contact with a few like photographers that kind of want to see me, like in Chicago.
You were telling me that one guy was asking you to de-gay your profile or something.
So I have it up there as on my bio that's LGBTI ally.
Meaning like you won't say no if somebody offers you a massage. We know what you're talking about, but yeah, I'm sorry.
If there's not if they don't want to touch me there, that's fine. Like I'm cool.
Yeah. So somebody was reproached you and said, would you mind taking down the fact that you're an LGBTI ally on your Instagram profile?
In exchange for an affiliate thing, yeah.
Yeah.
So they didn't like that. They thought it was, I think they just don't like gay people. I think they have their own personal issues, and they didn't really want someone who supported the gay community openly supporting their company as well. Oh, I told them to get fucked. Sorry, I probably shouldn't have cussed.
Why is it so important for you? Because you identify as a cisgendered heterosexual guy, right?
Why
is it so important for you to let people know that you're an LGBTI ally?
I have a lot of friends that are gay that have been ostracized, or they've had a lot of bad things happen to them. One of my friends, his parents, when he came out as gay when he was 18, he also had cancer, and they abandoned him because he was gay. And my cousin was gay, and he was beaten to death in jail because he was gay.
Oh my God.
I find it completely heinous to dislike someone because of who they love. I do not understand that. Like, even with trans, like, who cares if it's not, if they're not trying to force that on you? I have a few trans friends. Never once have they said, "Hey, Thomas, you need to be trans or I'm going to kill you," or something. They don't care. They just want to live their life.
Mm.
There's not enough support for people just wanting to live their lives, especially from people like me. Usually the cishet white guy is all macho, and they like Davey Muscle, especially. I hate that dude.
Davey Muscle?
Him so much.
Yeah, I have to Google who that is.
Shit. Why is he a piece of shit?
He's a real piece. So I can link you to some stuff from Pat Lee. Basically,
Pat Lee, the photographer.
Oh, wait, isn't Davey Muscle like he works part time installing floor tile?
I don't know what he does.
That guy,
but sells underwear. He sells underwear to gay men, and then he calls them the F word and calls them disgusting, and says that God thinks they're abominations. While he cheats on his wife for money with men because he's garbage. He's a garbage human being. I do not get it.
Wait, so he's sleeping with men, but then he also calls them garbage?
Yes.
We've all gone through that period in our lives. So
he can call me whatever he wants to, as long as he installs that floor style in a straight line.
Well, he probably won't.
That's what all his Instagram videos is him flexing. But then half of the videos is like, "I'm available for installing floor tile." And I think that's a misconception, a myth that people see these very good looking, muscular men and women and think you guys are living this life of luxury, especially if you're a brand ambassador for a hotel chain, for example, and they see you in these very glamorous hotels, but they all go home and live in a cardboard box in the underpass, you know?
Some of them are really successful, like Logan Franklin. He's successful because he's another one I really hate. And, that's from Pat Lee too. He said some messed up shit, and
when I masturbate to images or videos, I hit the mute button because I really don't want to hear what he's saying.
Yeah, he's all like, "Fausto, call me. I want you."
Just part of it is like you don't want their personality, their value to get in the way of your pleasure.
Mm-hmm.
And in a lot of ways, you know, fitness is about tapping into your body's strength and your sexuality or sensuality and being at home with your body, you know. And I noticed that some of your posts is about you celebrating the transformation that you've gone through. And I'm curious to hear, how that change has happened for you.
So I started lifting in high school because I needed elective credit, and I am a terrible student, so I didn't really want to do anything. And my options were like weights and then like band or all that kind of stuff. And I was talking to Dean. I was like, "Can I just like do weights three times in a day? Would that work?" He's like, "Sure." He didn't even argue with me. And I started gaining weight and I started gaining strength. And instead of being like 98 pounds wet, I got like 135, 140 in high school. I was like, "Pretty good." And I just never quit. It's kind of it. I just do it for fun now.
And how old are you now?
25.
Sorry, 25. So you've been lifting for like 10 years or so?
No, I think this will be my 8th year.
Wow. So you built all this in 8 years.
Yeah. I mean, this is the heaviest I've ever been at 170, which is really, really hard for me to get. Everything's some way heavier, but 170 is the heaviest I've ever been.
Mm-hmm. I don't want to talk about weight too much because sometimes people see us talking about weight and they get freaked out about numbers. You talk about weight and people are like, "Oh my God, no, don't talk about numbers."
One important factor that everybody overlooks is how you feel, your energy, your how at home you are in your own body. And for some people, it's like, it's regardless of how you look or how much you weigh, they're never happy. They're never satisfied.
I was like that for a while. I mean, I set like tangible goals. I just wanted to be able to say something specific. I was like, "This is going to say this one day."
Do you feel like you've accomplished that goal, or is it always feel like, you know, when people ask me like, "How big do you want to get? How much do you want to lift?" And I'm like, Listen, I'm an old man and I just don't want to be in pain when I wake up in the morning. And if I can look Instagram hot, not Scruff or Grindr hot, I'm happy.
So you're going to have to like make that difference for me. Cause I'm the disambiguity for me.
Hookup app sexy versus social media sexy.
Okay. Well, I don't know which one I am.
Well, I would say that you're relatively very successful on social media, and certainly, you know, you got approached by a video production company called the Church of Muscle Worship, COMW. And their videos, if you guys haven't seen them, they're hilarious and sexy.
Hilarious?
They're hilarious.
Okay. I try to be friendly.
No, you're great. I'm talking about your videos. Your videos are good. I'm talking about the guy who talked like this, and he's always like wrestling guys. And part of me is like, you know, I know this is turning on a lot of people, but it is comical. It's let me play some of that for you guys on the show.
Showing my ultimate power, my great muscles. Come here, my worshipper. I am your god, for now and forever. Yeah, there are so much muscles to feel. All right, my slave. Now go into the world and tell the people about the only one, about the one, your god. Make them believe.
Can I get an amen up in here?
There's a comical aspect to it for some people. If you're not really into it, you know, like a lot of fetishes, like if it's not your thing, then maybe you can kind of like laugh at it. And but, you know, there's also like a joy and a delight and a wonderment, because here's just somebody that's just like, here's my body. Like, look at it. Enjoy it. Look what I've done to it, that transformation.
But I noticed they pitch shift your voice too.
So they only do that for the trailer. Okay. They only do that for the trailer, so it entices people to want to buy the unedited audio sort of.
Oh, so we don't really know what you sound like.
Yeah, I didn't know he was going to do that. So I like the first time I saw the trailer, I was like, what is wrong with this?
Because it does sound like you're on acid or something. It's like, hi, this is Thomas.
Yeah, it sounds really bizarre. Yeah, freaked me out at first. I was really worried. I was like, you didn't do that to like the whole video. He's like, nah, I didn't.
Well, you know, people can do that with this podcast and just slow it down, and then we all sound like this.
Most people speed it up. They listen to the podcast at 1 and a half. Right now, how do you take that all in? You know,
they're just like, I gotta listen to the podcast in 10 minutes. I don't have all the time. Quick.
So what, how did you like,
I can't do that.
How did you get into the whole muscle worship thing? Like what was that like?
Originally it was just like people asking me for videos on Instagram. They're like, hey, would you do this for me? And I was like, sure. And at first it was like really, really weird for me.
Wait, you mean if we just asked you to flex like naked on Instagram for free, you would do that?
Okay, so no, not naked. I don't do naked. So that's so my line.
They would have to PayPal or Venmo you some money.
So I don't do anything nude.
But in your underwear.
Because of things in my past, I don't do nudity, anything. Like even like being with girls kind of weird for me sometimes, just because of my childhood. But that's irrelevant. It originally was weird for me because I'm not like that showman-y. Like a lot of people, when they want me to do it, they want me to be really arrogant. They want me like some people ask me to berate them and say some stuff, and I can't do that. But as I've gotten more used to it, sometimes I have fun. Like a lot of the videos are done with Church of Muscle. I've had a lot of fun with, just because I've had like specific requests and they're fun to do. I did a video where I took a steel bar and bent it. That was fun. It hurt my hand, but that one was actually fun because I had never done anything like that.
You know, in the movies, they just use like lead and pretend it's steel.
No, this is a stainless steel bar. I probably should have grabbed something that wasn't as hard.
Or use gloves to protect your hands.
So, in fact, if you buy the video, I do wear gloves eventually.
I'll give you a little trick. If they even still make phone books, the a trick.
Oh yeah,
a trick to like rip a phone book in half is you put it in the oven at a low temperature. And so then it becomes super crispy and then you can just tear it right apart. Just Google it and you'll figure it out. That could be a...
I've done a foam book too, but I didn't cheat like that. I just did it raw and that was pretty fun too.
Mm. Okay.
Raw. That's actually the video series that we have up on YouTube where Thomas feeds... I'm trying to convince Thomas to eat a birthday cake flavored candy bar. And you just have to watch the video to find out if Thomas took it in or not. It was your first muscle worship video in some ways, right?
So how does the whole muscle business work? So you're making videos for this guy on YouTube and then he sets you up with select clients, or do the clients come to you on their own?
So it's a website.
Uh-huh.
So he hosts the videos on the website and then you can purchase them from the website if you like them. I do customs, so I'll do one-offs for people, but a lot of people don't like my rates for that because, I mean, it's pretty time-consuming for me. Like, the video itself, recording doesn't take long, but the upload time takes a while, and I work a lot, and I go to the gym. But they're hosted on the website, and then I get paid some commission for it, and I love it, too, and people like how nice I am. So I used to do pretty good.
Yeah. I had this one guy on a dating app. He was asking me if I would humiliate him for money. And I was just
just listen to my podcast. You'll feel super humiliated.
No, I was just like, why would I even give a shriveled up troll like you the time of day? And he was like, please marry me. I'm so in love with you. And I was like, I wouldn't spit on you to spite on you. And he was like, I am so in love. And part of it is, you know, it can be, you know, it can bring this really dark side of you out, right?
I don't know if I have a dark side.
You don't know if you have a dark side?
I'm just like...
I'm Mr. Rogers, like, on the streets, but I'm, you know, Cruella de Vil in the sheets sometimes.
Please.
So I turned to this guy and I said to him, I was like, hey, well, let's do this. I'll go to your place and yell at you and you get me a new iPhone. And he was like, that's too expensive. I was like, I am not negotiating here. You know, this is like my time, my energy is non-negotiable. And he was just like, he was so enamored with me, but he wasn't willing to pay a cent.
Yeah, I've had a few people do that. They're like, oh, I want you to be my muscle master and demean me and all this stuff. I never have a really hard time demeaning people. Like, I have a hard time being a dick. I mean, I've been working in a prison, and I try to be, like, super nice to everyone.
They're going to eat you alive in that prison. Have you not watched Orange is the New Black?
Oh, my God. We will get to that in a second. first of all, okay. So I work in the women's prison, of course, but the women actually really respect me and they like me. And a few of them have tried to get one over on me, but they realize that just because I'm nice doesn't mean I'm an idiot.
Sure.
So at the prison already, do not try to compromise me. Your ass is...
Oh my God. Say this again. This is sounding really creepy because we're getting every other word and it's just like,
you said
do not
compromise
your ass.
What are you trying to say?
Okay, well, don't compromise your ass, that's for sure. But I have very strong professional boundaries. I am willing to do a lot for the women and help them and get, because there was a Department of Corrections, not Department of Punishment, or we're here to rehabilitate them.
Yeah.
But I have a reputation that I'm not one to be compromised. A few women have already tried.
Well, I imagine, you know, you're not just a snack, you're a meal. And I imagine that these women who are locked up, they would see you and they'd be like,
hubba hubba.
Yeah, I've been hit on a few times, but I've dealt with that very quickly. That's a professional boundary I won't cross.
Mm.
That being said, the Orange is the New Black comment, some of that stuff doesn't happen. We had someone lose their job because they bought a burrito in full of drugs. Like, what the devil are you doing? Women do things. But you're not going to walk into the prison, go around a freaking shelf and boom, two girls are having sex. That's not that crazy. Okay. I haven't caught anything like that, but I've seen some stuff, that's a little bit more extreme, I guess, on the spectrum. Something that maybe wouldn't be on TV.
So you never got a chance or opportunity to say, all right, you two lesbies. Carpet munching is a fence. I'm going to have to write you up for that.
Okay, so that would be pretty offensive, and I'd probably lose my job.
So you have to be, ma'am, please, ladies, please stop that. Get off of each other.
Excuse me, this is sexual misconduct. You're going to be written up. Get down to the office now.
Oh, wow.
And if you're...
See, if you just say that to your clients, you'll be making money.
I know. You got to combine one job and the other job, and then you're going to be rolling it.
Your pizza will be ready when I say your pizza's ready.
Pizza sounds good. Let's not talk about food because I'm hungry.
Oh. What is it? Those muscle birthday cake workout bars are certainly scrumptious.
What's your diet like, Thomas? How do you get and keep that? Because you always seem to be super muscular and super lean.
So I have a low fat, high carb diet, which ironically is what I need to be on for my disorder. Been battling this longer than I thought and just not really known it. Really lean foods, lots of carbs. I have a protein shake for breakfast in the morning, a mass gainer shake for dinner. I really like Asian food. Okay. Well, I really like white rice, and pancakes are my favorite, especially this like little place like down the street. The best pancakes in the world. Pancakes.
You build that muscle with pancakes
and French fries and burgers. That's the thing. It's like drives me crazy. I go on Instagram and you see these physique guys and they're like, my fourth pizza this week. And they're just holding like a pepperoni pizza. And you're like, this is bullshit. This is some propaganda to drive people insane.
I had a burger today. For the first time in a long time. It really wasn't a burger. It was a
what?
Chicken sandwich thing. I'm trying to remember where the devil I got it.
Oh, you actually got one of those rare Popeye's chicken sandwiches.
No, it was Johnny Rockets, I think it was called. Yeah. Mr. Pretzel burger thing. It was really good. I enjoyed it.
So do you believe that, you know, that people were saying, and I read this in a forum, it's like everyone, especially when you're posting workout photos and muscular photos on the internet, you're going to have a certain percentage of comments that say, steroids, steroids, he's using steroids. And part of it is like, I think people really don't understand what steroids do. And they really don't understand their bodies. Just because somebody plays basketball will not become the next Michael Jordan. And just because you're lifting weights, it may not come as easy for you as it comes to somebody else to build the body that you want to have. And same goes for steroids. Steroids is just one other step in that direction. But if you're not a person who's likely to build muscles, steroids is not really going to do that much more for you to begin with.
Okay, so I've never smoked. I've never drank. I've never had any drug in my life. I will not inject myself with some freaking hormone that can blow up my liver, especially when my liver is already having problems.
Yeah.
No way. And also, you can lose your hair from that. Have you seen my hair? I have some pretty hair. I'm not losing my hair for some freaking steroids, okay?
But you have friends who are also bodybuilders who are, you know, using steroids. And I imagine that the conversation does come up.
No. Well, I have a few friends that I suspect might be on them now because they got really big, really quick, and really shredded really fast. And I was like, I don't know about that, chief. But I don't really have any friends who lift. And I have a really hard time with people who are on steroids. Unless they're honest, if they're open about it, it's a little bit different. But it feels gross to me, so I don't respect them.
This conversation goes back to like Katie Couric asking Carmen Carrera about her genitals on national television. And part of it is a very famous transgender entertainer, Carmen Carrera, who is on RuPaul's Drag Race, was interviewed by a television journalist, Katie Couric. And, you know, she did the cardinal rule that you don't do is ask a woman, what does your pussy look like? You know, you wouldn't ask a cisgendered woman what your pussy looks like. You don't ask a transgender woman what her genitals look like or her pussy looks like. And part of it is like everybody was really outraged. And I said, listen, anybody who knows a transgender person knows if she wants to talk about her genitals, she's going to talk about that and she will not be able to shut up about it. And the same goes for steroids or any kind of body modification of any kind. If your friend, if your loved one wants to talk about it with you, they will come to you and talk about it with you. You don't have to be probing and stuff. And if they're not talking about it with you, it's probably because they just don't feel comfortable talking about that stuff with you. And leave it alone. Mm-hmm. Give people the ability to have their privacy.
Yeah, I mean, I don't really probe people. I don't really like ask anyone. The signs of use is kind of like really super obvious. Like, I get a lot of the comments because I'm really strong for my weight, but people don't realize how long I've been training, how hard I've been training. I've trained a lot of people, and I've trained a lot of people with me, and they give up pretty quick. People just want an easy excuse for why they are not where they want to be. And I used to be that guy. I did. I used to be like the whistleblower. Oh, steroids. I used to be that dude. Now I only say it when I know it. There's this one guy who goes to my gym and is hilariously disproportionate. And he likes to try to outbench me. It's cute when he can't, because he can't. But he's on something.
How can you tell if somebody's on steroids?
The biggest one is gynomastia. They have the weird, nasty nipples. And
did somebody say bitch tits?
That is exactly what they call bitch tits.
I like saying bitch tits.
Have you seen the guy on YouTube? He's got those gynomastia, and he actually can get milk to come out of them.
That is horrifying. I think I would die if I thought.
But it makes it's a great muscle building protein shake.
What's that?
It's great to put in your smoothie after your workout, though.
No, see, that's probably why I tuned that out for a second, because it's
You're like, your brain stopped working when I said bitch tits.
No, so there's gynomastia. There's like the increased acne, especially in the back of the traps. There's the hair loss, your hairline recedes.
Yeah.
You can measure people. So the FFMI, that's fat free mass index, at like 25 plus, they're probably on something. My FFMI records like 23.3 or something like that, 24.3, something. It's good. It's human, inhuman. Sorry, that was the wrong word. It's not inhumanly good. But there's ways to tell. And just because someone's bigger and stronger than you doesn't mean they are. And my whole, just like the LGBT ally, my identity is based on being a natural athlete because I want to show people what they can be.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
Sure.
And being a fake natural gives the wrong impression of me. It sends a false, what's the word?
You don't want to be like Michael O'Hearn. He's the bodybuilder who's enormous, and he goes up for years. Like, he was a underwear model and stuff like that, and in the 90s international male model, and he for years has been like, I'm natty, and people are like, why are you doing this? Nobody believes you.
Yeah, Regan Grimes is another one. He used to claim natural on his bio, and I called him out, and then it suddenly disappeared. I hate him too. I really hate all the big athletes. They're all natural.
Oh my god, you're killing my all my masturbatory fantasies.
Why do you hate them?
it because I want to be successful in this industry.
Yeah.
You can't go on stage and win unless you're on the ship that they're on. And no company wants you to be their spokesperson. They don't want you to be their icon if you don't look as good as these guys who are on gear. So to be successful in this industry, you need to be on it. So I'll never be a big time athlete. I'll never be like Jeff Seed or whatever. You know what I mean? I'll never be one of those people because I'm just not running the same game they are. They're playing with a different deck of cards.
Or you could be like Z's and you know, leave die
Z's
young.
Was on a lot of gear too. That's why he died.
That's what he died in a steam room.
Yeah,
he had a heart attack.
Because he was on gear.
How does steroids kill you?
He looked good though.
Yeah, he was gorgeous.
A lot, especially like so chemicals and artificial throws off your hormone balance, and HGH causes your organs to expand, and there's a lot of bad things with steroids. One of my friends died because he had sleep apnea and enlarged heart, and he was on prohormones, and it caused his sleep apnea to get too bad and died in his sleep at 24.
Holy shit.
Don't mess up.
Kids, don't do drugs.
Drugs, and don't get sick. They need chemo.
Well, listen, this is the thing, you know, when I had a basal cell melanoma on my shoulder, you know, it was a super big fucking scary thing to go through, and they chopped off part of my shoulder, and inevitably everybody's reaction when you're sick is like, what did you do? Did you spend too much time out in the sun and stuff? Can we just once in this world, when you hear somebody is sick, just say, I love you. I'm here for you. I'm here to get you through this, and stop looking for blame or fault, and just help that person get through this.
Interestingly, I haven't actually been asked that a lot. A lot of people assume it's cancer because it's chemo, and I get it. It's very similar. But mine's entirely idiopathic, and we have no idea why.
Well, just sometimes bad things happen. And that's what's why universal health care is so important.
Yeah, that would be nice, but we don't live in that kind of country. I was going to say world, but that would have been a lie because
most countries do have that. We just don't. Yeah.
You know, we're the greatest, though. Make America great again. Yeah. Make people shell out $3,500 to stay alive or die.
Mm. Is your prison health insurance covering that?
So it's helping a lot. Unfortunately, like because of the way my co-pays are and the emergency room visits, they don't cover the entire visit. It's a $500 co-pay every time I have to go to the emergency room. But the rest is covered because I'm already at my out-of-pocket max after, you know, my rituximab, each treatment's 10 grand. I hit my out-of-pocket max with my first treatment,
which is good.
But I still have the copays that are going to come from the inevitable emergency room visits when I need transfusion after work or something like that, if I don't go into remission. So it's helping a lot, but I'm going to have some nasty bills here soon. And I'm just, maybe I'll move away and change my name to Terry Tom.
Well, we could call you Muscle God Game of Swoles.
You know, my nickname at the prison is actually Captain America, which is pretty funny.
You are kind of Captain America, you know? In a lot of ways.
Yeah, that's what the girls call me a lot.
Yeah, I would say definitely. You know, my friend Scott Herman, who is a very, we're actually talking to him tomorrow. He's launched a very successful fitness career, and he for years dreamed of being cast as Captain America until Chris Evans got cast in the role. And part of it is like, you know, for a lot of young guys who, are into muscle and bodybuilding and stuff, Captain America was kind of a very formative character for them. Was that character, that comic book character, inspiring to you as a kid?
Well, I've always been like a huge fan of Iron Man. Mm-hmm. Movies before then, you know.
Even you're the Iron Man. That's right. You like to dress up as Iron Man in your Instagram.
My biggest inspiration ever was Broly from the Dragon Ball Z movie Legendary Super Saiyan, which I own. I also own the new one that just came out, so I'm like a real Broly fan.
Thomas, are you in the process of crowdfunding for your cancer treatments?
No.
Okay.
I haven't. I thought about it, but I don't want to be that guy. You know what I mean? I don't know. I thought about it because it would help. Because I working for the state, I do all right.
Well, if you need any help, you can, I'd be happy to help you with anything. And, you know, and no, I consider you a friend, and I'm sorry that you're going through so much. I know you've done a lot for a lot of people. You've helped train a lot of people. For a minute, you were training us as well.
Thank you for that.
Yeah. And I got busy and life happened.
You know, especially I think for men, it's sometimes hard for us to ask for help.
Yeah.
And when it's appropriate, when you're ready and you feel comfortable, ask for help. It doesn't, even if people can't give you help, somebody can. And that little bit can help, you know?
I feel like there's people who are in worse positions than I am.
Sure.
Like I'm okay. And I'm not going to lie, like managing my stress is really important to my condition because stress, your white blood goes up, and we both know that my white blood doesn't like me. So I need that to stay down.
So you're like the Hulk more than anything else.
No, I don't. Well, maybe anger.
Don't freak out. The white blood cells are going to grow, and then they're going to, you know, you're going to black out. You won't remember the next day. You just wake up with your pants off.
Yeah.
Thomas, the call's chopping in and out, but I appreciate you taking time. I know that you're going through a lot today, and let's definitely get you back on the show when your health is in better shape and the cellular connection is a little bit better.
And we're totally rooting for you here, and I really hope you get better and listen to what your doctor says, but I know it's hard the lure of the iron is too strong, you know, but just be good to yourself, okay?
It's also good for me because it increases my red blood generation, and that's kind of important. I do have a lot of faith in the chemo treatments, though, because my blood test results from today came back positive for the first time in like 2 weeks.
Oh, great.
The first time in 2 weeks, my blood didn't decline, which was really, really, it gave me a lot of confidence in it. Honestly, getting a blood transfusion is more scary than the chemo. Give me chemo. That doesn't scare the shit out of me. But the blood transfusion, oh man, that was the weirdest thing about all three of them. Every single one of them. I was like, this is scary. I don't know what's in there.
You said that everybody loves you when you're dying.
Yeah, I said that because no one really talked to me after I moved to Denver. And all of a sudden when I got sick, it was, oh, man, are you okay? Like, oh, yeah, no, I'm fine. Like, thanks for checking on me now that I'm almost dead. And that's also partially facetious because I had someone I was talking to. She broke something that she was like, she cared about. It was a stupid dab rig. Like, that's a drug thing. And I had gotten out of the ER that day. And instead of asking, hey, how are you doing now that you're out of the hospital? She was more upset over her stupid little, her little drug device.
Mm.
And she hasn't checked on me since I've been in the hospital getting on everything. So, yeah, you know, that's that kind of person.
Well, just remember that that sometimes when we're going through a lot, people, it reminds people of the value that we have in their lives, and they might not have been able to express it in the past, but they're like, here's your chance to say, I care about you. You mean something to me. I love you. And sometimes people need an excuse, any excuse to say that. Damn it. You there, Thomas?
Jade.
Hello?
That was targeted Jade. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Now we can. We haven't heard anything you said in the last minute.
I said it was targeted shade. So that wasn't like a general, that was targeted shade. I was throwing shade.
Okay.
Oh, you were purposefully silent?
No. The post. That was me.
Oh, you were being shady to somebody.
Yeah, I was throwing shade. No, that was all that one.
Oh, you're vague booking.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, you know, sometimes it says, listen, I need a hug, and it's nothing wrong with asking for that, too, you know?
Yeah, that'd be nice sometimes.
Well, if I could give you a hug, I would, my friend, Thomas, my muscular friend. Even muscle gods need hugs, too.
Oh.
Yeah.
So.
And it's good, it's good to hug a muscly guy.
Yeah.
They're nice and hard.
It's like hugging a tree. That's why they called Arnold the Great Oak.
Because
he was big, and when you hugged him, you're like, am I hugging him, or I'm just putting my arms around this giant cylinder? Well, Thomas, thank you so much for talking to us in chops and pieces. I appreciate it.
Sorry, I don't know what's wrong.
It's fine.
It's okay.
We'll do this again, okay? And it'll be glorious.
Get well, my friend, okay?
Take care.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Bye-bye.
Have a good day.
Bye-bye.
Thomas Terry lives in Denver, Colorado. You can follow him on social media, on Instagram, Game of Swoles.
Mm.
One of the best titles and puns.
What is Swoles? What does that refer to, Fausto, in the bodybuilding world?
The movie, the HBO series Game of Thrones is what it refers to.
But Swole.
Oh, the Swole.
Duh.
Swole means swollen. It means like you got bitten by a bee and your muscles are so big, they look like you have an inflammation. Mm-hmm. You're swole, man.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think it's interesting, like how in the past 20 years, a lot of language between cisgendered heterosexual men has developed as a way of expressing admiration or affection or closeness.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, it's like, you know, when I hear like the term bro being used disparagingly, like, you know, people are like, there were Bernie bros, which was something that was started as a way to diminish Bernie Sanders' political
appeal
of equality and enfranchisement of marginalized mm-hmm. people. Like, that's the least elitist or racist thing you can do is Bernie Sanders' platform. So this idea that it caught on, it just goes to show that propaganda is an amazing drug.
It's a super powerful tool, and you know who really understands it really well? The Russians.
The Russians, and Republicans too. You know, that's part of the reason they can be a minority in power and still be a majority. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, a minority in appeal and a majority in power. And I think, you know, as people who want to make the world a better place and fight for equality, fight for universal health care, to make people's lives healthy and people feel at home with their body. And we have to start there by talking about our feelings, talking about our affection for each other. You know, and I consider Thomas Terry like a brother, and as somebody who like I interact with on social media, and, you know, I had such a delightful time clowning around with that that ridiculous cake candy bar video. Mm-hmm. You know, you guys can watch that right now. It's on our YouTube channel, youtube.com/feastoffun. And of course, subscribe if you haven't. We do have a YouTube channel, and we post previews of those videos and little behind the scenes clips at our Patreon, patreon.com/feastoffun.
And if you enjoyed listening to us talk to Terry today, our Thomas Terry today, we have some lot more muscle people coming your way. Yesterday, we talked to Nicole Wells. We're also talking to Scott Herman, who's got a super popular channel on YouTube. And we started talking to him, gosh, way back in 2007 or eight. Mm-hmm. And he became, you know, popular, I think, in the queer world because he was on The Real World. And Real World Brooklyn, and became friends with a transgender person on the show who I think she had just come fresh off her operation or something like that to do the show. And so there was a real connection those two people had. And so people really took a shine to Scott. And we, you know, I've followed his career since then, but he just hasn't been on the podcast. So I'm excited to get him back. It's almost like it's one of those where are they now things, you know?
Well, and I think for a lot of people who grew up with YouTube and are in fitness and bodybuilding, they learn how to lift weights through watching Scott's videos. Mm. And certainly I know I've learned quite a lot. So we're going to be covering some of Scott's most important videos in the last 10 years. So it's going to be a really great show, and we hope you guys are around for that. If you are listening to this podcast and you want to subscribe, it's available on Google Podcasts, on Spotify, and Apple Podcasts, anywhere fine podcasts mm-hmm. are found.
Yeah, and again, if you want to support the show, the best way to do that is at feastoffun.com/plus, because your ongoing subscription to the podcast is what makes this podcast happen.
And for anybody who's muscular out there, or if you're having sex with a muscular person, stop punching them and wrestling. So,
unless they want it.
Unless they want it. It's like, I just wish people would just stop punching me for fun. You know, I'm like, I'm a human being. I have feelings. I break easily. Please stop. Thanks for listening.
Bye.